man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus.
Great, thanks, Brian. So we've looked at the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath? The Sabbath is the day of rest. In those days, it was the Saturday, wasn't it? But now we take it on the Sunday, so it's the day of rest. We've just heard from the reading about a withered hand. Anybody know what withered means? I've lost all children. Do your children want to come down? Come down the front again. I can't see you. Come on down the front. Great. Right. Let me show you what withered means. Here I am. Here's the prop. I had to go home because I forgot it. Right. Who would like to come and help me be the man with the withered hand? Right. I'm going to need a bigger volunteer then. Go on then, Brian. You can do this. Watch out for this plastic tube that nobody must see. Right. Right. There you go. Here's Brian, the man with the withered hand. Wave your good hand. There you go. Good hand. But then you see on this side, he's got this sort of strange sort of blue. It's gone blue. That doesn't mean necessarily mean blue. But that's a withered hand. It's all soft and floppy, isn't it, you see? But then, so what happened in the story? What happened in the story? Can tell anybody tell me? Can the children tell me what happened in the story? What did Jesus do? Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. Do you want to see the healing of the withered hand? Right, watch this very carefully. Brian, turn towards the children. Just wave your withered hand a little bit. There you go. There. Isn't that impressive? The healing of the withered hand. Unfortunately, it's not permanent in my case because it's sort of the air escapes. And thank you, Brian. That's very good. Very good. The withered hand. There you go. That's the withered hand. But Jesus, when he did it much better than me. Because Jesus is much more important than me, isn't he? He is God himself. He can do that sort of thing. So what would it have been like for the man with the withered hand not to have only to have one hand that he could actually use? Would that be difficult? Can you open the jar of Marmite with just one hand? It's tricky, isn't it? No, that's not. So do you think it was a good thing for Jesus to heal the man with the withered hand? Yeah, Izzy's saying yes, and Grace is saying yes, that's great. So I think it's a very good thing for Jesus to heal the man with a withered hand, wasn't it? But before he did that, he actually asked the religious leaders and all the people standing in the room, he said, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And the religious leaders just remained silent because they didn't like what was going on here. And then he healed the man. So what does this show us about Jesus? What does this show us about Jesus? Here's Jesus. All the other good things. What does this show us about Jesus? So, any ideas from the adults? Helen. He cared about man, which makes him a good person, doesn't it? He said, "Trust in your words." So, that's my good emoji. I know there's been lots of talk about what do emojis mean this week, but that means good. Okay, so Jesus is good. Shows us that Jesus is good. What else does it tell us about Jesus? Could I heal the man with the withered hand permanently? No. I made his hand better. But it didn't really work very well, did it? So it tells us that Jesus is very... Go on. Great. Thank you. Exactly the word I was looking for. You can read as well perfectly. Thank you. Right. So Jesus is good, and Jesus is great. He's great in the sense that he's powerful. He can do these miraculous things that we can't do. He is great. He is powerful. And we learn later on in Mark's Gospel, if you carry on in Mark's Gospel, that Jesus say, they say to Jesus, no one, well, Jesus says to them, no one is good apart from God alone. So we know that Jesus is also claiming to be God there because he is good. Now, what about the religious leaders in the story? Here they are. Were they a happy bunch of people? No, they weren't very happy, were they? So they're there looking disgruntled, not very happy. Now, what were they most interested in? Can anybody think? Were they interested in healing the man? No? Annabelle? In money? Well, that's one thing they might have been interested in. But in this particular story, they're interested in something else. What did they accuse Jesus of doing? They said, you can't do that on the rules. Thank you, Rich. But they couldn't. They said, you can't do that on the Sabbath, which is a rule, isn't it? So they were interested in the rules. And that's pretty much all they were interested in. Even though sometimes the rules prevented them from doing good for people. You see, when God gave his Ten Commandments, and you know we've been looking at the Ten Commandments recently at the beginning of the service. We've been looking at the Ten Commandments. When he gave his Ten Commandments, he gave us a good rule, which was about keeping the Sabbath holy, keeping the Sabbath special. But then the religious leaders, they added all sorts of lots of other little rules on top of God's own good rule, which actually made it very difficult for anybody to do anything on the Sabbath. And that's why they were so annoyed when Jesus decided to heal the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. But as Jesus had already said, Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath rule set by God, keeping the Sabbath special, is good. It's the very best thing for us. It's the very best thing that the way we live. It's the very best thing for us. And it should be used for good and not for evil, is what Jesus is saying. But then Jesus asked them another question. He says, what is lawful on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill? But the religious and political leaders only wanted to do one thing, and they wanted to kill Jesus, didn't they? They wanted to kill Jesus because they were so cross with him for healing on the Sabbath. They wanted to kill Jesus because they were interested in the rules. He broke the rules, their rules, not God's rules, but their rules. So they wanted to kill him like that. And I've lost my place. So what does this show us about the religious leaders? Well, it shows us that rules are more important to them than doing good. And they like to make sure that everybody obeyed the rules. And they wanted to murder Jesus, kill Jesus, because he wouldn't obey them. They thought he was immoral or bad because he wouldn't obey their rules. But in fact, it shows us that Jesus was more interested in obeying God than obeying the rules that religious leaders had made for them. And that proves that Jesus is very good because he always obeyed God rather than men. And that's really important for us. Because Jesus wants the very best for people. And he has the power to give it as well. He is both good and great. The religious rulers wanted some of that power for themselves. So they made that by making up all these difficult rules that people had to follow. But Jesus wouldn't obey those rules. He obeyed God's rules. Because he was more interested in obeying God than rules made by people. So then it was religious leaders, the Pharisees, and we read later on the political leaders as well, the Herodians, the followers of King Herod. But they aren't around anymore, so we don't have to worry about the Pharisees and the Herodians, do we, whoever they were? But today, there's still people who think that Christians are bad or immoral, even when they're doing things good. So sometimes those people might be people on social media or YouTube or whatever we read, the newspapers maybe. Or sometimes those people can even be our friends. Our friends say to us, well, you've got to do this. Or you've got to believe that. Otherwise, you can't be our friend. And it's the same, isn't it, really? Today, people are saying, unless you follow our rules, you can't possibly do your good. And yet Jesus wants to set the example of saying, actually, what is most important is obeying God's rules. So when we're faced by people on social media or YouTube or Facebook or whatever it might be, or even our own friends saying, actually, you've got to believe this or do this, what we need to think about is, what would Jesus do in those circumstances? You've seen these words, haven't you, these letters, WWJD. They stand for, what would Jesus do? And it's a little question we can ask ourselves in those circumstances. What would Jesus do when somebody is saying, you've got to do something that God wouldn't like? Okay? What would Jesus do? And I need two volunteers, please. Two volunteers who can read nicely and loudly. Can I have two volunteers? It can be any age. Milan would like to volunteer this time. Right. Can I have another volunteer? It can be a big volunteer. They need to be able to read really nice and loudly, okay? Right, hang on. So, as you know, last week, it was Valentine's Day, isn't it? Hello, Liam. You want to be there as well. It was Valentine's Day, wasn't it? Sam, as I walked into church this morning, strangely, I found some Valentine cards lying around. And I think one is for Milan. That one. And one is for Liam, it looks like. Okay, that one. Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do, Milan, can you read out your Valentines? Did you all hear that? Shall I read it out for you as well? Okay, my dear Milan, it says, you are all I've ever wanted. You're the sweetest, kindest, loveliest person I know. To be my Valentine, all you need to do is this. Cook me three meals a day, dress onion red, just like you to. Walk the dog morning and night, use Colgate toothpaste, because no other will do, and cut your hair a little shorter, because it's getting a bit long. That's one Valentine's card. What do you think of that? Okay, what about Liam's? Right, it says. Shall I just read it again, just in case people didn't pick up? So, my dear Liam, it says, you are all I've ever wanted. You're the sweetest, kindest, loveliest person I know. I love you. I love to spend time with you. I've always wanted you to be my friend, helper, and companion. To be my Valentine, all you need to do is this. Make me your true love and trust me with your life. So please look both ways when crossing the road. Don't accept sweets from strangers and don't play matches at home because they're dangerous. I never want to lose you. Now, which Valentine card did we like best? Liam's. We like Liam's. Why do we like Liam's Valentine card better than Milan's? Anybody tell? Go on, Andrew. Yeah, it's unconditional, isn't it? Well, there were some rules in there, weren't there? But what are the rules? Do you remember the rules? They were for the benefits of Liam. They were, weren't they? It was unconditional love. It's the same love. But there was some rules in there just to make sure that Liam was kept safe and nothing nasty happened to him. Thank you very much, you two. Great, excellent. Brilliant. So that's just to show the difference between love, which is based on rules. I'll only love you if you use Colgate and cut your hair a bit shorter. And love that is based unconditionally. I want you to be my friend. I've always wanted to be your friend. So please look after yourself, because I don't want to lose you. That's the difference between a relationship based simply on rules and a relationship based on love. So, and we prefer the second, wouldn't we? Relationship based with love, even though there are rules, but they are for our best, they're for our benefits. And that's the difference between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. See, and even between Jesus and the opinion formers, the friends and YouTube and everything else that we take in every day of the week. They say these are the rules you must follow. You must think like us, you must behave us like, you must believe the same things as we do. Jesus says, I love you, I want you to be my friends. And here are some rules, but they are for your benefit. They are to make you happy. The religious leaders would have chosen Milan's card. Jesus would have chosen Liam's card. In verse 5, have a look at verse 5 in the reading. It says how Jesus reacted to the religious leaders. And it says he was angry and distressed. Why do you think that was? I mean, Mark tells us, doesn't he? He says that Jesus looked at them in anger and was deeply distressed. At their stubborn hearts, It's very strong language, isn't it? Very strong language. Jesus was angry and distressed. It's so strong. But he was angry and distressed, I think, because their stubborn hearts, their hearts that didn't want to change their minds, stopped them from seeing that God loves us and that all his rules are meant for our goods, just as the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So Jesus was able to do good on the Sabbath by healing the man, but the religious leaders couldn't see beyond their own rules to see the relationship of love that Jesus was offering them. The good news for us is that God still offers us that wonderful relationship with him through Jesus. We know that Jesus is very great. He's God himself. He's also very good. So when he wants us to change the way we live or do something that we wouldn't want to normally do, it's not because of meaningless rules, rules for rules' sake. Jesus' ways are good. It's the best for us, the very best way we can live. Not surprising that when the religious leaders were so stubborn and didn't want to listen to Jesus, it distressed Jesus. It made him sad. It also made him angry because people were saying, "Shove off, God. I'm in charge. Know your rules," weren't they? Sin. "Shove off, God. I'm in charge. Know your rule." They're not only refusing the best way to live, that is God's way, they're also refusing the love of the Father who offers them relationship through Jesus. So they were turning down the very best for their lives. If my children said to me, "Shove off, Dad, I don't want to live in your house anymore, I don't want to follow your rules anymore," I would be upset, wouldn't I? I might even be angry because they'd be turning their back on the best thing for them. Now, Jesus is the same. He cares about us so much that he's prepared even to give his own life for us. He was prepared to be falsely accused and murdered by those same religious and political leaders who hated him in Mark 3. And we know he died on the cross for us. And when Jesus died on that cross, the religious leaders thought that they'd won. They thought that they'd had the victory. But they hadn't, had they? Because Jesus actually had the victory when 3 days later he rose again from the dead to show that he truly was God. He was truly good and he was truly great. He was so powerful that God could raise him from the dead to live for eternity. It shows us what we can enjoy if we have a relationship with Jesus as well. So if you're the one rejecting Jesus and perhaps with that stubborn heart, as the religious leaders might say, I don't want to change, I don't want to know about this religion stuff, then actually, just think about this. We're not saying it's all about the rules that you have to follow. It's actually about the love of Jesus dying on the cross for us so that we can have a new relationship with him and live the best life that we can possibly lead. If you're upset, maybe distressed, maybe even angry, that somebody you love has that stubborn heart and doesn't want to know about Jesus, then let's keep praying for them. Let's keep praying. And God can change them. He can change their stubbornness by the power of the Holy Spirit. So pray that God would soften their hearts. Thank you very much for listening. And we're going to sing our fourth song now.